This is Autumn from Grumble and Autumn, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
No, keep an eye out! I'll allow this licked in two shakes of a
nerd rage!
Hey there, and welcome to another hard-hitting... installment of the Twisted Nether Blogcast. Again, we have come to bring you the best of WoW the Internether has to offer.
This is episode 26 for the week of December 8th.
Thanks, Vim. Are you okay?
Yeah, thanks. I think I'll live.
Okay. Well, that's good. This week we bring you, I guess, I would say legendary, Big Red Kitty as our blogger in the week. We sit down with him to, shoot the breeze for a while.
So, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Whoa, that doesn't sound good. We might have a complication or two.
Hi, this is Mairdred from Treebound Cat, and here come Bellwether and Maticus with your news.
Actually, it's Bree and Fim with the news.
Exactly, Bree and Fim with the news.
Ah, you want to play hardball, eh? That's just my game.
And... for our own shooting of the breeze that we do. Here we are. News this week has been pretty scanty. There really hasn't been much going on. My server restarted sometime in the middle of yesterday evening. That was news, I guess. I don't know. Other than that, there like just general news for WoW. Was there anything you can think of?
I've been very bad about watching the WoW news this week. I think after I hit 80, my brain shut down, and I haven't. I've been reading posts. I've been reading blogs, but I haven't been reading like the news reels and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Oh, you know what did happen? They took off the money statistic off the statistics in Armory. And actually that links up to a post that I put on our show notes for today. Larissa over at Pinktail Inn wrote a good post about why they should take that out before they took it out, and I found it. I had actually put it in the show notes before they had removed it, so we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. But yeah, so they removed that statistic from the Armory, so you can't tell now how much your buddy has ever had in his bank, or the spammers, or yep. Not the spammers, the hackers also can't find out now. So, I think that's pretty cool. They took that out. And there's some changes coming down the pipeline for some of the classes, and but I can't tell you exactly because they're not the classes I play. Sorry.
The normal stuff, I guess. Is
yeah, normal stuff.
They still really haven't done a kind of balancing since Wrath came out. You know, this next patch will be probably the big rebalancing of, oh, this is what we figured out, and this is what, you know, isn't really working, even though we tried this in beta, and they'll come back through and make those changes, and hopefully for the better for everybody.
Yeah, I can't really wait for 3.1, because that's supposed to be the patch that's from what I heard at BlizzCon and whatever, that's supposed to bring dual specs, and I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm hoping that comes very soon.
Yep, I'm actually hoping that with some of the patches, they're going to start introducing some more patterns, you know, leatherworking patterns and alchemy stuff and everything. Because it seems like a lot of stuff that, you know, it's kind of limited. They're leaving themselves a lot of room, I guess.
Yeah, I was noticing that with with alchemy. I mean, I was looking for the different potions, new elixirs and stuff like that, and it didn't seem there seems to be a number of There's a lot of space for improvement. A lot of space that they don't have pots or elixirs for yet. That they had had a large abundance. That's redundant. They had an abundance of recipes in BC. So it seems like you said that they're introducing it. I think a little bit more slowly this time around. So things are coming in as they patch up.
Yep, that's true. Well, they do have the alchemy discovery thing that you can get to learn the flasks and stuff, I guess. What things I have noticed is leatherworking doesn't seem to have drop recipes. You know, I know they were like big on like saying, oh, that was a problem because people couldn't get any recipes because they were drop ones and they never got them. But I think that like it was kind of nice to have some stuff, like something special, that would drop. And I know there's a few leatherworking patterns you can get from Reputation, like the big mining bag, I just got, but I don't know. It's just, to me, it seems like it's kind of scarce. Like there's just something missing. There seemed to be a lot more, like leatherworking, especially because that's what I'm doing right now, in the Burning Crusade.
Yeah, but I think it's also because it's a different system now. I know that they've mentioned it before that the world drops for all the professions were going to be greatly reduced. I have seen the patterns I have seen have been for some random cooking recipes that I've seen, and also I've seen a couple of jewel crafting patterns drop off heroics, and I've gotten one or two.
Yep, I've seen those.
Yeah, but outside of that, since I don't have a leather worker, I don't know if any of them have dropped off like heroics or stuff like that. You haven't noticed any in the heroics you've done?
No, I haven't. And from what I've seen, just looking on the websites and like Wowhead and whatever, there aren't any that drop anywhere. Everything is either trainer taught or you buy from the vendor that's sitting right outside the leatherworking trainer in Dalaran. Or a few rep ones, like I said. There's a couple that are rep based. But other than that, from what I see, there's nothing that drops even in instances or raids at this point.
Oh, well, that sucks. You put a complaint in, say Blizzard. Give some love to leather workers.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the thing was that I didn't get a lot of the drop patterns from instances other than like Karazhan. So to me, it's kind of like, well, it's better if you can get it, you know, just buy it. Maybe the whole idea was, you know, the ones you can buy right now for leather outside the leather worker in Dalaran are all the ones that they would have made to be, you know, drop and bind on pickup or whatever. That would be the only thing I could think of. But then it still seems like there's just not that many yet. But I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just seeing too much. And yeah, I don't see a huge amount of things that would be like for me. So maybe I shouldn't complain too much.
You're like a kid in Christmas. Where's my present, Santa?
Exactly. Where's my stuff? Presents. More stuff. Need more rage. No. So anyway, what my characters have been doing in the game is heroic, basically. Finlissa has been doing heroics this week. I also was doing a ton of Ice Crown quests, but I still like only halfway through the total, you know, the number you have to get to the achievement. It's just, to me, they seem like the Ice Crown quests take a lot longer. They're not as short a quest as some of the earlier zones, from what I can tell. Well, one other thing is I actually got finally.
Too.
It's okay. I think it's kind of cool. I'm big on grays and stuff. But I finally got the Sons of Hodir or whatever, honorable, or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? Is it?
Honored?
Status? Honored status? Whatever it is.
Yeah, honored.
Yeah, from friendly to whatever. Honored. Yeah. I got to honored. That's what it's honored. Called. I'm awake. I got to honor status with them finally from doing the daily quest, and I actually found some of those Everfrost chips, which was kind of cool. Those are like $3.50 a piece rep, so I found a couple of those. Luckily, they're so tiny. I mean, I thought they were going to be bigger even than they were, and they were so tiny. The cool thing, though, is that means that I could pick up that mining bag recipe for leatherworking, and I also could get my shoulder enchant, the low-level one. So that was good. The next step is, I think there's like two more daily quests for them now. So instead of it being three daily quests, there's five daily quests. And one of them is supposedly to do this, like, kill a dragon in midair thing. Like, supposedly is pretty awesome. So I'm going to have to try that.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't even started, actually. I took Persephone to Storm Peaks or whatever. Got to that K3 site, got the quest, and then set her butt down and logged out. Because I think the fact, the idea that I have to DPS with her, just like that's it. I somewhere in the back of my mind, a switch turned off after she hit 80, and I refuse to kill anything with her right now. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I guess I'm gonna have to round somebody up and
well,
go through the quest.
Yeah, if she's not an inscriber, then she's got it. You got really have to do them because you need to get to Hodir to get the shoulder enchants. Unless you want to just go back to your old world and do them because it's the same level as the highest level in the old world, BC.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. I just have to. I have to get around my aversion to DPS on her right now because she's back to Holy. I don't feel like going back to Stormwind, respecking into Shadow or whatever. So I'll do it eventually. I haven't done it yet. And yeah, so I've been trying to level Bree. That's been a work in progress. It seems that every single horde that was leveling their first 80 have finally grown tired of actually questing and have decided to return to their previous and much loved activity of ganking anybody who crosses their path, and that includes me. And it has not been fun. No. So yeah. What? I have one level 80, two level 70s, and a multitude of different alts on a PvP server. I know what I'm dealing with. It's fine. But yeah, it's a little frustrating. Number one, because all I want to do is fly on her, and I can't because she's only 71. All I want to do is farm on her, and I really can't because she's not at a level where she can farm peacefully without, you know, being able to get back at somebody if they decide to try and gank her. And number three, I'm really rusty with my hunter at this point because I've been playing my priest pretty much exclusively for almost a month now because I was leveling her and doing a lot of instances and stuff like that. So Bree, unfortunately, has been very neglected. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to keep, like, she doesn't have the same setup as my priest. My priest has a very different UI. I decided to stay with a more traditional UI with Bree because I wanted to see all the UI changes, like when you get in a vehicle, when you mount up on an animal and stuff like that. That it changes the whole look of it. And I didn't get to see that on Persephone because I'm using dominoes and stuff like that. So you don't get the skins on the UI and all that. And I figured, well, you know, Bree's going to be soloing all this stuff. I really don't need a more high-tech UI. I can stay with a simple UI, dealing with macros, dealing with my pet, and I'll be fine. But the thing is that I have to relearn how to play with her and how to PvP with her so that when people try and kill me, I can defend myself adequately enough to be either kill them or make it so that it's painful for them to continue to gank me. And, I have to get back to that place. I haven't gone there yet, but she's halfway to 72, so that's not too bad. It's just, yeah, I think I'm burned out on questing. Yeah, I think I'm burned out on questing. I don't know if I want to continue questing. I'm sort of like, I haven't played this weekend because I've taken a break.
Nah.
Hit 80, I take a break, and been doing family things. If holidays are in here, I have a family member who's in the hospital, so we've been doing a bunch of that stuff. So yeah, it's been real life.
What's that? I don't understand.
That's basically it. But I'm excited because we have our first Naxx raid in a couple days. So that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it should be good.
So you've been doing a lot of heroics. I did Unguard Keep the pinnacle, and I had never been there on either a normal or heroic, and that dude with dragons a bastard.
We did pinnacle at one point on heroic, and we got the first boss down pretty easy. The second boss we kind of skipped. We tried it. We couldn't get those little beginning ads down, so we just skipped them because you can just walk right past them. And yeah, that third one was real tough. We finally got him down. I don't know. You have to get him down pretty quick, because if you, that dragon keeps spewing, the dragon, you have to get down quick, because otherwise you're going to die just from that breath weapon. He does. And then, the last boss, we just couldn't, we ran out of time really, but the last boss, we just couldn't get down. He was pretty tough. We only had one healer. From what I can tell, like, given the gear levels of all of us and the healers, it seems like, dual healing, the heroics, is almost necessary now.
Well, I healed it, on my priest, and it was okay until the third boss, because what's happening is, and I think this is what happens, that you really have to have a lot of coordination with your team, because we wiped like two or three times before we started getting a rhythm going, because the first time was because I ran out of mana too fast, because everybody was taking damage because of the breath, and because of all the adds that were coming through. So by the time that the boss came down, I was basically popping everything to try and keep up some mana, and he was only down to about 50%, and I ran out, because it was too much trying to keep everybody up before the boss got in. We came back, we wiped a couple times, then we came back, we got him down, and then it was almost like we were doing great, everything was fine, and then it took forever to bring him down. So by the time they brought him down, I was out of mana, because everybody was taking damage or whatever. And we finally got him down. I think it took us about six times. We finally got him down. The last boss only took us twice, but that guy was the one that was giving us the hardest time, because it's like all this coordination of trying to get the harpoons. If you haven't done the fight, it's a PETA. But, basically there's several stages to the fight. There's a dragon with this breath that coats either the left or the right side with this frost breath that you have to really get out of the way, because it does a lot of damage. There's adds that are coming in waves that are going to be constantly coming, so your tank needs to be prepared for that. And then there's harpoons that the only way to bring down the boss is that you take these harpoons, you put them in these, like, similar to if you did the quests over in, Howling Fjord, that you went to this building and you harpooned the town, the same concept. You put the harpoon in and you harpoon the boss until the dragon dies and you bring him down. And at that point, the ads stop. Obviously, the dragon's dead, so you have no more of the breath. But what you have to worry about him is his spinning, like whirlwind thing. But outside of that, he's pretty much spanking tank and he's pretty easy. But all that stuff to get him down is what's really difficult about that fight. It takes a lot of coordination for people to get used to it. Took us a bunch of times to do it. But outside of that, I mean, the first two bosses weren't that hard. It was that guy. That guy was a major PETA. I don't like him.
Yeah. Well, we also, one of the things we figured out was that second boss, and even the last one, is very difficult with a paladin healer, which is what we had. Like, basically having the range of the different types of spells that a priest has, especially, you know, big old AoE heal and the renew and whatever, or even a druid healer, would probably have been much easier for that those particular bosses, because of the way they work. The second one, that one of those guys has a bleed effect, and you know that just causes issues for the paladin tank for whatever reason, the paladin healer for whatever reason. So we end up with problems because we just couldn't get healed through those sections. Plus, the last one has the same issue where, you know, everybody's taking damage at the same time, and that's real difficult, I guess, for a paladin healer to heal through. Compared to a priest or a druid, etc.
Yeah, I can see how that could be an issue. I don't know how Beacon of Light works, actually. Somebody can explain that to
me. I know it has bacon.
But yeah, bacon.
It's all bacon. About the bacon.
Yeah. The Beacon of Light. But yeah, I can definitely see how it can be a pain, because it's like I've been noticing in all these heroics, and like we've been talking about it, you know, there's a lot of AoE damage in all these instances. And I'm sure in Nax it's the same. So it's going to be interesting to see. I know that our pally healer has been doing heroic since he hit 80 about 3 weeks ago. So he seems to be doing okay. But I wonder if he's done pinnacle. I haven't talked to him recently yet, so I don't know if he has or hasn't. It'll be interesting to see how he handles that. So any pally healers want to tell us how you handle those situations? We would like to know.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think it's also, you know, a gear thing too. You know, he would run out of mana, etc. So yeah, it's, I have a feeling it's a gear issue where he just wasn't geared up enough, because he hasn't, he, a lot of these guys that we've been doing heroics with haven't been 80 all that long. I mean, none of us really have, but we, you know, none of them really pugged heroics with other people. We didn't do a huge amount of regular instances either. So, you know, we're coming into some of these, you know, I had never been to Pinnacle when we went in either, even in regular. So it was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. So this doesn't help.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I did Pinnacle this weekend. I did it on Friday, I think. Saturday and Sunday, yesterday and today, I haven't really been on. I tried to start fishing on Bree. I went to Stormwind, started doing that. Lasted about 10 levels. I went up from 12 to 30, and at that point, I was like, I'm bored out of my mind.
Thankfully, I'm at now, I actually leveled to 290-something. I was at 270-something, and today I just kind of sat down and spent some time just fishing in Stormwind, and I sent my son all the fish so he can level cooking with those low-level fish. But I got high enough level that with the aquadynamic fish attractor, I could actually fish with a lower amount of missing in Zanger Marsh. So I decided to move to Zanger Marsh so I could get like fish that I could cook if I felt like it. And then hopefully when I get high enough that I won't miss all that often, I'll move into to Northrend and start getting some of the newer fish to use them for cooking. So maybe I can get some levels easier.
Yeah, I decided that I'm going to level Bree's fishing because she's my cooker, she's my gatherer, she's the one that I farm with, so it seemed ridiculous that I was trying to level it on my priest. She's never going to do it. I know it. I'm not like somebody else that I know that I've talked to, another priest that I know that Ego, she's like, she wrote a post about how she hates DPSing on her priest, and I've just I am of the same agreement. I love healing on my priest. I love my priest in end game, but I hate the idea of having to farm with her or level with her or any of that. So that's why she's stuck in Storm Peaks right now. I'm gonna probably beg Guildies to help me just finish these quests quickly so I can get rep with them and I can get these enchants or whatever, because the idea of doing it by myself makes my skin crawl at this point.
Yep.
And let me ask you a quick question. Do you know in there's the fountain in Dalaran that you can fish in or whatever. What level do you have to be to fish in there?
I don't know, but it was higher than I was when I tried to do it, which was about 10 to 20 levels lower, though, maybe 10 or 15 levels lower than what I am now. So that was with the fish attractor, so it must be like 455 or something like that, or 450, or I don't know. It's pretty high. You have to have a lot. You have to use one of the lures, I'm pretty sure. But it's pretty high up.
All right.
Because you get coins and stuff, supposedly, or something.
Yes, I'll be fishing. Cool. Yeah, you get coins, and it's supposed to be for an achievement. But I was just wondering, because I would have liked to have fished in you know, the place where I can do my dailies and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, I agree. Yeah. What's funny is I got the I was sitting there. I got the 25 fish achievement. And everybody's like, grats. I'm like, hey, thanks. And then I got the 50 fish achievement not long after. It's like, oh, grats. And then I got the 100 fish achievement. It's like, oh, my goodness. bing.
I guess I'll be leveling my fishing for a little bit before going to bed tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually parked over in Zanger Marsh, at Cenarion Expedition. That's where I was doing before I started get off for the recording. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. It is really so boring, and I just I want to do it because I want it to be done, but I just don't want to go through the process.
I totally agree with you. I really wish that they would finally revamp fishing. I mean, they've been talking about it forever. Can't they revamp it so it's like actually interesting? Because let me tell you, waiting for that stupid bobble to move up and down and splash water is it grates on my nerves. It grates on my nerves because I feel it's a total waste of my time.
Actually, I would be happy if they just made the timer shorter. Like, you know, we guarantee that it will hit, and it will hit within a second or two. You know, not 10 or whatever it is. You know, if I could just say...
It's 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it's too much.
20 seconds of my life.
5 seconds. That would be good. 5 seconds is good. You know, enough time that you don't have to like be like, oh, it's gonna go. And, you know, and then, but you know, enough time. You know, not too long where you're like, oh, when it's gonna go? I don't know. And then it's at the end, like three times in a row, and you're like, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Let me tell you, okay, Blizzard, if you're listening, 20 seconds for to see if the stupid bobble goes is way too long. Okay, universes start and die in that time frame. Can we please make it shorter?
The Big Bang was less than that.
Yeah, really. I mean, I have such limited time on the game, and this is why I've never leveled it, because number one, it's awkward. The whole mechanic is awkward. And then number two, it takes too damn long. Okay. Especially in the higher levels when it takes you about maybe 10 or 11 catches for you to go up 1 point. Yeah, that's freaking ridiculous. Okay. It's ridiculous. No other profession makes you go through that.
Yep. No, I agree. So,
okay. Let's get off my rant.
Yes. Okay. Rant over. And, I think that's, it for our news for today and for this week. For this week. And next up is our interview. Woohoo! With Mr. BRK of the Red Big Kitty. So enjoy the interview.
Yes, and enjoy, guys.
This is TJ from TemerityJane.com, and this week's Primal Blog is... Wait, what's a Primal Blog?
Couple more minutes, and I'll... Uh-oh. Keep it up now. Plenty of death dealing for everyone.
This week, our Twisted Blog of the Week is BRK himself. And if you don't know who BRK is, I don't know if you've been reading blogs or living under a rock. But Big Red Kitty is here, so we welcome him to the show. Say hello, Big Red Kitty.
Hello, Big Red Kitty. Nice to talk to everybody. Nice to see you. Hi.
Welcome.
Definitely welcome. And I found it very funny while I was looking through the about page that he has it succinctly put that, we're a hunter, more leader. So that's, I mean,
just another of the 10 million things I have to updo is actually redo the about page. That was a temporary placeholder. And because I don't see it every day, I don't know to fix it.
But you know what? Oh, you know what? Really? It says it all.
Yeah.
You know,
I like it.
Know, do you really need?
It's not a lie.
No,
it's just true.
I mean, but really, do you really need to update it? You know, I don't think so. I think it's.
I should update it. Should be some stuff on there, some real basic stuff about, you know, what this whole thing is about. You got to have a foundation before you can build a roof, and a lot of people know what's going on in the house, but they don't know where everything came from, and that's what that should be right there. That's the idea.
Well, they can listen to this show and they'll find out.
Ooh, I hope to too.
We can cut out your piece and you can just add it as an audio clip to the about page.
The less work for me, the better.
Yeah, you don't even have to type it. It'll be there. So, Finn, why don't you start off then?
Okay. We'll start with the generic questions we always ask pretty much everybody. So, what inspired you to start blogging?
A long time ago on a server far, far away, I was a hunter class officer in a guild that raided Upper Black Rock Spire and was trying to get into Zul Grub. And I had a bunch of little hunters who I was teaching, and I would write down stuff in the guild's forums. And just, you'd look at seven classes then, eight classes, I don't know. And the hunter forum had about 127,000 posts, and the other ones were empty. And basically, I was just writing to myself because nobody was reading it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I want a lot more people to ignore me. So I started a little blogger.com thing. And if you look at the post number one, it goes, I know no one's ever going to read this. This is just for me. Uh-huh. So I have some, because if the guild's forums went down, everything would be lost. But if I have my own little blog site, I have it and it's there forever.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we got started. It wasn't any desire to blog. I'd never blogged. I'd never read blogs. I didn't know what RSS was. I wanted a permanent place to record everything I wanted to yap about.
Uh-huh. And so
that worked.
And so you just heard about blogging and decided, hey, let me start one of those?
I said, what is blogger.com? I actually did searches for Warcraft information on Hunters, found nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then I found a cupper, I found a Druid Mage blog. And I was like, this is how you do it. He's got blogger.com. And, okay, so this is how you do it. You just go to there, you sign up, it's free, and you just type and post, and it's all done for you. And it's easy, and that's all I wanted. I didn't care about graphics, I didn't care about stats, I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted somewhere permanent to store my writing. That's all.
Very cool, and we're happy you do.
Hooray! I'm glad someone is.
Yeah, many, many people.
I think most people who start blogs, not necessarily don't intend to get into blogging, but they get into it and they say, "Nah, no one's going to listen to this. No one's going to have anything to do with it, but I'm going to do it anyway, yeah. And let's see what happens."
If your goal is to get readers, you've got to write for readers. And that's not always entertaining for the readers or the writer. I have pretty much told everybody who's ever asked me, write for yourself. And if you enjoy it, that's all you need. If people read it, well, that's a bonus. But it should be about self-expression and you learning about yourself and you and liking what you're writing. Because if it's a job, then it's not going to get done. But if you like writing it, it's a hobby and it's fun and you'll express yourself better and people will read that in your words. And they'll read it because they like what they're reading because you like what you're writing.
Makes sense.
That's why I don't write about anybody else, because I stink. And it would be a hate fest of four-letter words and bleeps, and we wouldn't like that.
So then how did... Well, I mean, I know it didn't necessarily progress because you were pushing the blog, but, I mean, your blog has... It's one of the iconic blogs of Warcraft in the sense that it's obviously one of the most popular blogs out there. So... Did it freak you out? Did it surprise you that this happened over time? Because you've been blogging for about 2 years now, right?
It'll be 2 years in January, and my first month, I got a total of 2,000 hits. And I would track that every day. Oh, look, 27 people clicked on my blog. Oh, 37 people! And, you know, it's just that's just fabulous. And my goal was never to get more hits, ever. It was to give information, and when someone would email me, I don't know how to do this. Like, I know how to do that. Here's how you do it, and you'd turn that into from a one-to-one conversation into one-to-many, and you get enough keywords in there that you're solving problems that everybody needs solved. That when they Google it, they eventually find you, and the more people who have that same problem, they Google it, and you just it just grows and grows and grows. It's a self-perpetuating thing. You have to have the right answer, or at least fake it. And when you do get it wrong, you have to apologize. It's more than just having an answer. It's got to be an answer that people can comprehend and put into practice. If I tell you you got to do a 720 jump shot to take down this boss, well, that doesn't solve the problem. That just gives you a solution that you can't do.
Right.
You got to have simple, logical, progressive solutions to common problems written in a funny way.
Yeah, sounds good. And that's how I... Go ahead.
Yeah, the majority of blogs out there that get lots of hits are funny. It's not a requirement. There's someone like, let's see, Blessing of Kings. I proselytize him all the time. Mm-hmm. Blessing of Kings is not funny. He ain't funny at all. He's a paladin. There's a reason for that. But for logical conjecture and just absolutely steady as a rock paladin information, it's simple, free-flowing, easy to understand. He's who you go to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to read about funny paladins, you go be read about Rat Shag's alts. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, nobody goes to Rat Shag to learn how to play an orc. They just don't. But people go there for a reason. So if you combine the two, well, then you
learn
can take
how
over
to pick
the
up Gene.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. He's like talking about picking up Jaina Proudmoore. Yeah.
Oh, that is the two things that I swear, the Jaina Proudmoore dating story, that's top 10 of any story about Warcraft ever, lore or not.
Yes.
And then the Galer Tubby posts
are
cryingly funny. The two people in Warcraft who need a blog and don't have one are Galer Tubby and the guy from Renoob's Friend. Oh, God, what's Renoob's Friend's name? Everybody knows it and they're screaming it. I can't remember it right now. Everyone, you know who I'm talking about. That's who it is. He needs his own blog, and Galer Tubby needs a whole blog. One post a week of Galer Tubby singing his song, talking about the quest he's doing with pictures. It's so cryingly funny. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree.
And you don't learn a damn thing. It's wonderful.
No, yes, it's amazing. He's so profound. We're in awe.
He is incredible. I've told Warcraft World WoW Insider that he needs to do the Orc News of the Day at least once a week. The 6 p.m. Orc News of the Day with Ratchet. It would be the biggest thing they ever did, but they don't listen to me. I just write
for them. Yeah. It's too bad. It's too bad. So, is WoW your first MMO?
It's my first, I don't want to say my first computer game.
Mm-hmm.
I have an addictive personality when it comes to computers and games. I try to keep them out of my house. I try to keep games away. I did Lemmings when it first came out. I was up for 3 days straight. I stunk. I smelled. I finished the whole thing. I can't do this. This is no good. But I had friends at work who did this, mm-hmm. and they said, you should really try it. And they were talking about Ironforge, and you fly on the birds. Wait till you fly on the birds. All right, I'll go get it, and I'll try it. And poof, there you are.
Okay. Yeah.
That works.
So, yes, this is my first and only MMO. I don't play anything else. I don't know. I can't even spell Warhamster or whatever those things are.
Warhamster.
So your use of we is a major identifier on for your site. How did that evolve?
That is back to the basic concept of what a hunter is. It's a hunter and his pet. Every other class, except for a warlock, is basically a soloer. It's me against everybody. Warlock has a slave, all right? They can go with the slave. They sacrifice slave. It's an accessory. Hunter has to have his pet. It's a duo. And when you talk about my hunter does this and my hunter does that, well, your pet's there doing everything with you. And it seemed to me that if it's a team, we should talk as a team. So Big Red Kitty is plural. Hobbs and I, or Loke and I, it's we. And that's where it comes from. It's nothing about we're trying to do the royal we, or it's some type of ego thing. Every hunter should talk as we, because that's the way you should think of your pet as part of you.
I think of my pet as part of me. I just don't know if I feel strange referring to us as we.
You don't have to if it kind of makes you feel strange. Yeah. That's not the goal. But
Pookie is
part
of me.
The idea is that, yeah, he's part of you. You develop an emotional attachment to this silly little
pixel
thing of pixels. Mm-hmm. And it's when I had Hobbs, and I still have Hobbs, I miss him when he's not doing with it. When I was taking Gorilladin out and doing stuff, I miss Hobbs.
I have a question about Hobbs a little bit later.
Yes.
Because I'm concerned. Concerned.
Don't be concerned. Okay. Hobbs is not going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm addicted to the Spirit Beast. I'm totally 100% addicted. I'm not afraid to admit it.
It's okay. We'll talk about Hobbs a little bit later.
Okay.
So now you have a number of different projects going on, which we'll get into in a little bit. In more detail. Projects. Because you've become a busy man. It evolved from a little blog, and now you do freelance stuff over at WoW Insider. You've been doing that for a while. First you did that for a little bit, and then you stopped, and then you went back. So,
I was scheduled to write a 500-word post every week at the same time on the same day.
Uh-huh.
And I work. You know, I'm a full-time father, full-time husband. I have a job. I work, in Kennedy Space Center. And I just couldn't put it together. I don't want to put crap out there. I want to put funny stuff. I want to put nonsensical, irreverent, but it can't be crap. It's got to be something I'm proud of. And if I couldn't chunk it out every week at the exact same time, I felt bad.
Right.
So I told WoW Insider, I can't keep the deadline, the schedule. I like writing for you. I like everything, but I can't keep the deadline. And so I just stopped for a while. And then they said, well, how about you just send us something whenever you want? Okay, whenever I want, sure, I can do that. And then I started writing for WoW Insider again. So I'm like the only class columnist who is not guaranteed a spot during the week. It just, all right, I got something. You want it? Yeah, go ahead and put it up. That's how it works.
Nice, very cool.
They've been very, very good to me. I enjoy WoW Insider tremendously.
Good. Back to huntering.
Mm-hmm.
So what glyphs would you recommend for a Beastmaster hunter, minor and major?
All right. For the minor one, the most important one for a hunter is basically the minor one. That's the improved mend pet. Mm-hmm. That's the one that increases your pet's happiness. So you don't have to carry pet food if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a baby mammoth with a vendor, you've always got pet food, which is awesome. But the improved mend pet just keeps your pet's happiness up there. Because since we don't have loyalty anymore, happiness is the number one thing. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to get down into playstyle. If you are grinding with a Gorilladin, the volley glyph is tremendous. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
If you are doing raiding and you are a marksman hunter, you might want to get the improved steady shot, which does 10% more damage to your steady shot when you have serpent sting up on your target. For Beastmaster Hunters, that's a little bit tricky because we're not always using Serpent Sting because the damage it does versus the mana it costs is not as efficient as a Marksman. But we're trying it out right now, trying to remember, keep that Serpent Sting refresh, keep Serpent Sting refresh. Because 10% bonus to Steady Shot for Beastmaster is awesome, because that's what we're doing, Steady Shot auto rotations. Another awesome one for Beastmaster, of course, is the Beast Mastery one, which reduces your cooldown a little more. So we can get our Beastial Wrath down to 1.17 seconds with Talents and Glyphs. So it's up for 18 seconds, and that, of course, 1.17 minutes is, you subtract 18 seconds from that, so it's like every 57 seconds, you've got another Beastial Wrath ready to rock. And, of course, Beastial Wrath is our I win button in every situation. That's fabulous to have there. The main thing about Hunter Glyphs, I'm assuming this is the same for every other class, is the vast majority are crud.
Yes.
Seven out of eight are just like, why did they even bother? It's, all right, this one's specifically for PvP. I can see that. But a bunch of them are just silly. There's one that increases your aspect of the eyes. God, what are the eyes of the beast?
Eyes of the beast.
Increases damage done while in Eyes of the Beast. Now, I've used Eyes of the Beast. I use it in every movie I do. I use it in Mount Hyjal all the time just for fun. I've never attacked a soul with it, though. Yeah. If I run up and start attacking somebody with just my pet, leaving my hunter standing to the side, it's time to retire. So it's just so there's a lot of silly ones out there, and it's really kind of easy to tell. Do I want the one that increases my steady shot damage? Do I want that gives a bonus to improved aspect of the hawk? If I don't have improved aspect of the hawk trained, I'm not going to take that glyph. But if I have it, I might want to give it a try. Now, the thing is that you want to try is try out a bunch of the ones that you think might be good, and you'll either fall in love with it or you realize you don't like it. If you're a hunter who's Beastmaster and doesn't like doing Serpent Sting, don't get the improved Steady Shot one. If you're really fanatical about keeping that up and you've got timers going and you know that Serpent Sting's got to be refreshed and refreshed, get it because it's already part of your programming.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yep. So there you go.
I love hearing that I make sense. Sometimes I worry. So it's always good for confirmation.
Yes, it makes sense. So, you guys are currently on a raiding hiatus, your guild?
Well, our guild made the decision before Northrend came out that we were going to wait until January, because what we wanted to do was have two 10-mans going at the same time. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to send one 10-man in to go in and explore and get a bunch of firsts and get some gear, and then break it apart into two fives and add two other fives to them. Mm-hmm. So we had an experienced half and a non-experienced half. Because the people who can't level, it's not that they don't want to, and they're not skilled enough, they have obligations. Mm-hmm. They just can't level to 80 right away. They're going to feel left out. Now, as we all know, pugs can take down necks. So if we're going to be able to maintain this moratorium, and I don't, that's how I like to say it, we're voluntarily saying we're going to hold off until we're all ready to go. Mm-hmm. If we can maintain it through the holidays, that's good.
Yeah.
I know there's a bunch of us who are pretty much done with heroics, and it's like, okay, what's next? Well, they're playing their alts now. They're getting to do all the quests that different for the different other classes. How fast are they going to burn out on that? I don't know. We'll find out. It's kind of a day-to-day thing.
Yeah. So let me ask you now. You haven't had an opportunity yet, or have you, to test out BM in raids? So since there's been so many different changes with DPS and stuff like that, with steady shot being removed from not steady shot, auto shot being removed from being clipped and all that. If you find out that BM, I mean, heaven forbid, but if you find out that BM doesn't do the same amount, the same DPS, like a marksman does more DPS than BM in a raid situation, would you switch?
Yes. Because when I'm in a raid, I'm there for the team. I'm 10% of a 10-man team. Mm-hmm. And my job is to do as much damage as I can. And if marksman is more damage than Beastmaster and 10-man's and next, I'm switching to marksman. I would have Hobbs. Hobbs is not an exotic pet. That's fine. The idea, though, is to find the spec you like and make it work the best it can. Rhett Paladin is a perfect example of that. Before the new Rhett Paladin overpoweredness came out, you would have a Rhett Paladin in your 25-man raids. Well, you could put a Beastmaster Hunter in there and have another one at the top of the damage meters. But you know what? He likes playing a Rhett Paladin. If he can pull it off, if he can keep top 5 DPS in that 25-man raid back in Hyjal days, you'd bring him. Because a good player with a B-plus DPS is much better than a angry, sullen, pissed off noobish player whose class has been proven to do a plus DPS. So if I can go in there as Beastmaster and hold my own, that's what I'm going to try to do. But if Marksman Fars outplays it, I'll go Marksman. Now, before we had Burning Crusade, I was a Survivalist Hunter. I was a 0-21-30 back when we only had 41. We only had a 41 talent point. I was a hybrid. I was a 0-21-30. And because that was the highest DPS you could do. I get aimed shot crits for 3,000. It was beautiful. One-shotting squishies in Arthurac Valley. It was great. But that's what you did.
You know who's wishing that you go to Marks, right?
Who's wishing I go to Marks?
Hobbs is wishing you go to Marks so that way the spirit beast can go away.
Hobbs is very secure in the knowledge that I have a very large stable and he will never go away.
Are you
cats
sure
right
about
now do
that?
More
Are you sure about
cats
that?
Cats are the number two DPS pet right now.
Okay.
Basically. So, tied with scorpions. Tied with scorpions depending on your raid composition. Devil Star's number one, what did I just say? Cats and scorpions are pretty much tied for number two.
Uh-huh.
Spirit Beast is bugged. Spirit Beast's DPS is borked. I like the Spirit Beast, one, because I'm doing 3,000 DPS with a borked pet. I think that's enough. That's fine for heroics. And two, because it freaks druid tanks out. I was doing a heroic violet hold pug, and we had this druid tank. And after the first boss, there's six waves, then you get the boss. He started screaming, "I don't know what's going on. Something's screwed up with my UI. I'm casting moonfire on everything, and I'm in bear form." And I said, "No, man, that's my spirit beast." He said, "You dirty blinking flapping snap." And it was just great. We all broke up, and it's just so funny. Spirit beast is great because most other classes don't know what a pet that does a moonfire is doing. And it's just a great conversation piece. And he does DPS, and he's cute. He's got that blue in the face, and he's very nice.
Yes, no, I agree. He's gorgeous. I'm just saying, you know, pets get all funky when you don't give them enough attention. I'm just saying, you know, Hobbs may be missing you.
Hobbs is probably due to come out of the stable and get leveled up to 80. That's true.
Yeah.
But he's never going to be let go.
Okay. No. I didn't say let go. I didn't say let go. I've said neglected.
Has he been neglected? Yeah, he has been.
Yeah.
Gorilladin isn't even level 80 yet. Spirit Beast, since I spent 3.5 months on beta trying to get the Spirit Beast. And I logged in just crying. I wanted the thing so much. And now that I've got it, I mean, only hunters who have actually tamed the Spirit Beast know the feeling of wandering around the house after you've done it, shaking. Hands, I actually got the thing. I can't believe I got the thing. Going up to your spouse or your significant other. Do you see what I did? I don't care what you did. I'm trying to sleep. No, you see? Look. And it's hunters who are listening to the bot, who listen to this podcast, who have the spirit beast, are going, yeah, that's exactly right. I was shaking. I was freaking out. I was telling everybody who didn't care what I'd done. And so that's one of the reasons I've been publishing a lot of letters from people. So they have an outlet. They have a dummy load that they can dump all these emotions into because it's a huge experience. Before this, the most closest thing to an epic hunter quest thing was, of course, the epic hunter quest to get the Rock Dalar. And to do that, you had to have a 40-man raid that would go into Molten Core and kill the final boss and get a 50% chance that the thing would drop and you're one of 17 hunters who got a roll on it. And it was a very, very elite cadre of hunters who had the right guild who were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any 76 hunter can go circle around Sholzar for days on end and try to get this thing. There's no skill you need other than patience, perseverance, and luck. And it's fabulous. Of course, I get to say that because I've got the thing. If I didn't have it, I'd be screaming and spitting and just absolutely going ape crazy. But it, as I said in my podcast today, it's just tremendous. This is one of the greatest things they've ever done for hunters ever. I love Spirit Beast. He's a baby.
That's great. Yeah, well, I'll be, when I hit 76, I'll be camping out there.
Don't go to Sholazar Basin before you're 76, because if you see it when you're 75 and you can't tame him, you're going to want to kill someone.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Definitely.
So what pets do you currently have in your stables? I know we have poor Hobbs.
Poor Hobbs, poor, sad, neglected Hobbs. Of course, Spirit Beast. Gorilladin. Mm-hmm. Gorilladin is 78. He's moving on up. Baby Rhino. He's level 79 because I tamed him at 79. I love rhinos. Rhino. I love big things and small things. That's pretty much, I don't know if you can figure that out yet. I like things that are really big and really small. So Rhino is just, oh, baby Rhino. And the O at the end is what makes it cool. Baby Rhino. You can stretch it out. It sounds great. But I have an empty slot right now. I have a fifth slot that I don't have a pet in.
Oh, very cool. So what are you thinking of getting?
Well, the LSD Wasp of Doom. I may go back and get him.
That's the one Fim has.
Yeah, that's just, he is freakish, and he's so high off the ground, and he's so big, and he's so colorful, and he makes so much, I love that guy. But he's another ferocity pet, and I've got two ferocity pets right now. I don't need another ferocity pet. I've done moths before. I like the moth. I love the damage he does. But again, another exotic ferocity pet. I should have a cunning pet. I don't have a cunning pet. I haven't found a cunning pet I like, so I'm keeping my option open. I haven't found one yet I like.
Well, mine, I already have my cunning pet.
So. What's your cunning pet?
My cunning pet is Pookie.
And who is Pookie?
Pookie's a Ravager.
Ravager. Ooh, your Ravager. Green one?
Yeah. It's a blue and green, yeah.
Oh, the blue and green Ravager. Those are nice.
Yeah.
I like Ravagers.
Yes. So do I.
I don't have any cunning pets. I have two tanking pets and three ferocity pets.
Cunning pets, I would say, are the underrepresented of the three classes. Everybody's got to have a tanking pet. And I think Gorilla is the number one tanking pet right now just because it's so much fun and so easy to do.
That one.
Oh, gorillas are so great. And then you get into the ferocity side. You don't see as many cats as you used to, but you see lots of Devil Sars out there. And there's a reason for that because they're the number one DPS pet out there. But I love seeing running around Dalaran and seeing all the pets. If for no other reason to keep the ban on flying in Dalaran in place is to make hunters run around with their pets, that's the most fun thing I have in Dalaran is getting to see all the pets running around the streets. That's tremendous. I love that.
Yep. Well, I've been having my fellow instance runners be very annoyed with me because I have the wasp, the queen wasp from Sholazar.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, she's so huge.
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't click on anything because your wasp is in the way. Move. Yeah, get out of the way because I can't click.
Learn to macro. So, learn to assist.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so I was
you don't
like,
need to click. If you're raiding and you're clicking, you're doing something wrong. You need to be tab targeting or assisting.
Yeah, she does some nice damage. I've been enjoying her. I also picked up at the suggestion of one of our listeners the Vargul Blighthound.
Yes.
The demon hound looking wolf. I just picked him up. Yeah. He's still 75.
Have you looked at his breath in close up? His breath comes out really small, and it comes out of his nose and goes poof. It's like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, I haven't played him much because I usually have the gorilla out unless I'm going in an instance with people.
Wolves are tremendous raiding pets. Yep. Now that their spell is raid wise, just awesome pets to take along. Yeah. And the blue demon looking one is just an awesome looking one. Of course, the other wolf right now that you can get that is going back to Hellfire Ramparts and getting the orc one with a little saddle and a little warmers around his ankles, which is so cute. And he's there got that big collar too. And so you've got all that stuff. And you don't have to have Iron Jaw anymore, which is what all wolf hunters used to have. Iron Jaw is gorgeous, but everybody had them. Now you got those really nice choices. I love it so much.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying all the pet choices that we have in this expansion. It's really nice. I have to ask this because I promised him I would.
Yeah.
But do you remember the Canadian that called you when you guys were waiting in line for Lich?
I sure do. All of Canada gave me a call.
Yes, all of Canada. So Christopher asked me before I came onto the show, that he wanted to know if you had any shot rotations, and he also wanted you to please, even if it's only for this podcast, to give Marksman a break.
Marksman get a huge break. Properly played Marksman get a huge break.
He'll be happy to know that then.
There you go. True shot aura scales. That's what y'all wanted. Now you got it. So now bring it hard and keep it going. Or just be quiet. You know, you got what you wanted. You've got readiness in your tree. You got sleeping shot in your tree. You've got Chimera shot. You've got better serpent stings. Marksman got all the buffs in the hunter's group. Marksman got the most buffs. So you guys have got the tools now. Now you got to bring it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, they got a lot of toys.
Yeah, you've got, and it's more than just toys. It's basic functionality. True shot should scale. It should always have scaled. It was stupid that it didn't.
Well, right.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you should have easily scaled stings. Well, now you got those. And you should have a shot that refreshes your sting. You shouldn't have to Done. And you should have ignore armor. Got it. You've got everything you could possibly ever wanted. You even got readiness, for crying out loud. So you've got all the tools. So there is no excuse for marksmen not to do exceedingly high DPS, right, depending upon the fight. If you've got a very pet-friendly fight, well, my Beastmaster is probably going to outdo you. If I got a very pet-unfriendly fight, well, now you're going to pick up the slack. The people right now who are pretty much left, I don't want to say left out, that's a bad thing, survivalist hunters are just by design not going to do the same DPS, but they bring a whole bunch of other utility, and that's what it's all about, mixing and matching to make the best of what you got. You don't have to be the number one DPS if you can do other things really, really well, and that's what being a survivalist is all about.
Yeah.
But marksman, you guys get a shout out. You've got the tools now. Let's see your WoW web stats. Bring it. Show it. Email it. I want
to
see them.
All right. I'll let him know to do that.
Yeah.
And talking about sharing stats and things like that, you recently started a podcast a couple months ago. Nabuka, or Nabuka, which I'm not going to bother to say her site name. It's
Mystic Kikinery.
There you go. Thanks, Finn. I should have a plug-in. We should have a soundbite that, you know, when I try and say her blog, then I press it and it says it for me. But so she wants to know, why did you start podcasting? And I want to add on to that, you know, the commercials that you do, or the little rants that you do. I mean, I every time I hear them, it reminds me of Dennis Miller. How do you say them so fast?
When it comes to doing the podcast came about for two reasons. One, because I own a Mac and I've got all the software built in, and I got my own server, so I have all the tools to do it. I just needed time and the kick in the tuchus to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
The kick in the tuchus came in the form of readers saying, "You should do a podcast. You should do a podcast. You want to do a podcast? Why don't you do a podcast? All right. I did a podcast. And the thing is, I don't want to just sit in front of a microphone and talk for 30 minutes and publish it. I want it to be fun for me to do and for you, the listeners, to listen to. I want you to get a laugh out of it. I want you to be entertained. I don't want you to get into a car accident, but I want you to pay attention. So part of that is music. I'm a huge music fan, and I want to have every radio show I've ever listened to has got a really good vamp. So I go through my huge iTunes library, and I try to put a really cool vamp on there. And the ads, of course, you know, all our blogs have ads, and revenue is revenue. You got to bring home the boo. Yeah, Mrs. BRK needs the bam bam. So you don't want to just say, please visit my blog and click on banner X, because that's not entertaining. So getting the people involved, and I want to buy a motorcycle. I want to buy a mammoth, because that's what we get. That's what you do to your friends. Can you lend me 20,000 gold? I want to buy a mammoth. And it's like, well, we do that. And then you've got the guys asking, can I please have 3 gold? I'm level 4. I need 3 gold. And you just mix and match that all together. Now, it takes time. It takes a lot of time. I've got to get to solicit the MP3 stuff from the readers. They got to be good quality. I got to be able to import them. I mean, my podcast that I did today took 4 hours for a 37-minute podcast. It takes time. So I want to do more of that stuff. It's just really hard. And if it doesn't come out right, it stinks. A lot of effort into something that stinks is stinks times two. So it's got to be good. So I've done some stuff in the podcast where I went, wow, that's horrible, and I've deleted it. My podcast today, I faux set it in Ironforge, and today we moved to Dalaran. And I had my character leaning over the balcony at the top of the Citadel, and I had a whole bunch of traffic, and I had a helicopter, because, you know, engineers can make helicopters, and I had animals, and I had cars, and I had a police thing, and it sounded terrible. And it took me 2 hours to do it, and I threw it out, because it just didn't work, because that's not what Dalaran sounds like. But the rest of it was just really good, and I really like it. So the future of the podcast, I want to do video. Can I do video? Yeah, I can do video.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a friend at work, PhD in astronomy, and her boyfriend has a band. It's like, ooh, can I hire your band? Yeah, you can do your band. I say, do you know some backup singers? Yeah, I know some backup singers. Ooh, I could do this whole thing. I could have the Big Red Kitty Orchestra. And then I said, what else are you going to do? I said, well, how about I go for the Big Red Kitty Bikini Team? And she hung up the phone on me. So I don't know how far we can carry it. But yeah, it's as long as it's fun and I have time, I want to do all that stuff. It's thoroughly enjoying. I laugh myself when I do this. If I don't laugh at it, I'm not going
to
publish it.
No, this is very true. You have to have fun if you're going to do something like this, or else it's not worth it. So I have another question from Nabuka, and she wanted to know what you found most surprising about Wrath.
the most surprising thing I found, tank DPS. I was in the beta, so I saw how beautiful the stuff was, and I knew the graphics were going to be great, and I got to fly around. Okay, this is really high, and this is really low, and underwater looks, that's fine. What the heck is going on with you tanks out there? How dare you do 1,000 DPS? That's not right. I don't want to see Prot Warriors doing 1,100 DPS. And don't talk to me about Holy Paladins doing, calling a Strathholm doing 1,500 on trash. You guys need to put the DPS meters back in my hands and let me take care of it. And you just hold stuff there by the neck and let me smack it about. Tank DPS is unreal. You guys are having a blast. We have some friends who are... We have some friends. See, I just fall so far into it. I have a friend who is a... I would never level as anything but a Prot Warrior. And then I take him out and he goes, hey, dude, you just hit 960 DPS on that. He goes, yeah, you see, Prot Warrior is best. I mean, no, Prot Warrior isn't best. It just means you can do some damage, and it's pretty cool. I don't think anybody expected tanks to be viable DPS classes. They are viable DPS classes. Mm-hmm. And it's because as everybody who's done five mans and heroics go, threat's nothing anymore. Threat's gone. If you've got a tank that you have to worry about threat, you got a bad tank. Threat is gone. Tank DPS is here. And I don't think I've read anybody talk about it. And I think they need to. I need the tanks of the world need to get together on that tanking forum they got on Warcraft and start formulating a cohesive plan to get out the word that tank DPS is here. It's a totally new paradigm. No, never before has a tank ever done DPS. They're doing it, and it freaked me out.
That makes me think of a t-shirt, which actually leads us to another question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So the awesome t-shirts.
Okay.
Which I saw you in one of.
Yeah.
How did that start, and when can we see more?
I've had on staff for many, many years, the Big Red Kitty artist. She recently gave birth. She had her second daughter, and I didn't want to bother her with designing another shirt, but I did anyway. And she came out with, yeah. You see, you know, I have a conscience. I just don't. You listen to it very much. That's the Big Red Kitty brain talking. Brain versus Big Red Kitty brain. Yeah. Like, don't bother the pregnant woman. And I said, I need a t-shirt. So I called her up. And said, I need a t-shirt. And she did Rhino We Win, and that does very, very nicely. But it's on what is that posted on? That's Cafe Press. And Cafe Press, for those of us who are in the business, know. They take all the profit, but they do all the work. So you do all the work, you get all the profit. I had a guy call me just out of the blue and said, what do you think about doing something like this? And he had a picture of Rhino, the new Rhino. Mm-hmm. No, Gorilladin. He had a picture of a gorilla. And we took that from the picture of gorilla to adding Gorilladin to... And I come up with the words. He does the graphic side of the words, so I'm very proud to say, I'll just tank them all my damn self. That's from me. And I said, this is pretty cool. I'd like one of these for myself. Well, I only usually sell them in packs of 12. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll see if I can sell any on the blog. Maybe somebody will give me some money for this. And I sold them out in 38 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, so you get the guy on the phone, double the order. Sold them all out again in 58 minutes. And I said, you know what? I'm not a t-shirt warehouse. I can't do this full time. All right, you guys like this? Let's see if we can do one more so I can have one big order. And that's when we came up with Northrend. I'm actually wearing it right now, the Northrend bowling team.
Yeah.
I love Northrend bowling team. And that came out with the Rhino bowling movie we did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. The Rhino bowling movie I did. And it just it was the perfect timing of everything. And it's so cool. Do I have another shirt coming around? Well, first off, on the current shirts, if you got a shirt from Big Red Kitty, I want to see a picture of it. I'm going to blog about this. I want to see you in a picture of your shirt. I love getting that type of stuff. I want to get feedback on the shirts. I think these are really nice shirts. I've touched the quality, and they're really good. I want to get feedback. Do I have another shirt in the pipeline? I got two of them, actually. Are they going to be out for Christmas? No, because I'm not a t-shirt manufacturing company. I just went to the post office today, mailed off 100 t-shirts using the kiosk there, and I wore out my debit card because it wouldn't give me. This one's $4.75. This one's $4.77. I just want a $4.80 stamp. This one's $4.91. So I don't have the time to do that, so I want to do it big blocks. So I'm hopeful that at the beginning of the year, I'll have beat my new artist into the ground, and he'll give me my new graphic, which I've been waiting for. I've already got the words for it. I've already got the animal picked out. He just has to finish the graphic. I've got the rough sketch done. And then we'll have three shirts for sale at the same time that you'll be able to order for 48 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay, so then I just need to make sure I
that long.
That mic there to pick it.
If I leave it up for a week, I'll get mean, I don't make, I make a little money from the t-shirts, but it's not as, Mania from Petopia. She does a pet calendar, and it's gorgeous. Oh, yeah. And she comes right and says, I don't make any money off of this, and I just want to smack her. Make some money off of it. It's effort. But you're not trying to make $40 a shirt. You know, I'm not Pierre Cardin over here. I want to make a little product, but I don't want to spend 19 hours putting shirts and envelopes and getting to the post office and burning out one of their kiosk computers. So I want to give people the opportunity to do it, but it's not going to become my life. So yes, we're going to have it. It's going to be an open-ended thing, and it also makes it a little more rare. Yeah, I got one of Big Red Kitty shirts for whatever that's worth.
Okay. All right. And
I think it's worth it. Not.
Yeah. Well, I really like the Northrend one.
I love Northrend.
It looks awesome.
I think this is probably the best thing I've ever done, and I've done the 100% Beastmaster stuff, which I really like. I've got the mug and the coaster and all that stuff. I thought that was a great shot, but this one, Rhino, we win. God, this is just so nice. I'm so proud of this. Really, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very cool. And because of that video, I got a Rhino, but I'm sad to say I don't think I'm going to be leveling with him because he's too big.
If you think he's too big, that's a personal decision. We won't think less of you. That's okay. Where's the off button? No, you can get a Rhino at 79, so you can bring it back later. It's fine. Rhino is a he's a toy. Let's be serious about it. Rhino is not an instance tanking pet because his knockback spell, Stampede, is not only not good, it's bad in an instance because it'll knock people back into them up. So you don't want to have that on. If you don't have that on, what's the whole point of having a Rhino? So he's not good in raids. He's not good in that. What is he good for? Well, he's interesting. He's maybe fun in PvP. But as we all know, hunter pets still don't have the same survivability in PvP that all the other classes do. So and he's big, so you're going to target him first. He's like a Tauren, for except, you know, everybody would kill him first.
He's like,
you can't help but target him.
You can't help but target him. So
he's like right in the way. Screen.
And then you beast a Wrath Rhino. Beast a Wrath Rhino. And he's so big. And he takes up everything. And you can't help but click, get that thing off my screen. And so it's a novelty. Rhino is really a novelty.
You have him chase people around.
Yeah. And but taking him into Dalaran, taking Rhino into like Goldshire to people who really have that. What the heck is that? Hey, watch out for Rhino, man. He might step on you. It'll hurt. What the game is about, having fun.
Yeah.
And no class has more fun than a hunter because of the 36 different kind of pets we have. So you can bring this huge Rhino out and have him stomp around. And because we got 5 stable slots, you don't actually have to use him for anything. It's great. Rhino's wonderful.
I have a Rhino too.
Yeah. Nano's in the stables, but we're debating.
Yeah. I called my Rhino Danma.
Danma.
I'm naming all of my pets Megs at one point or another.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, so I named mine Danma Rhino.
What was the name of the dolphin in the movie about the dolphins with the guy and the other? Oh, forget it. I can't think of it.
With Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura.
Flipper. What is it?
No, Flipper.
No.
The Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Yeah.
Yes.
The dolphin had a name. There you go. See, I broke it. Okay, I broke the podcast.
Okay, now to the listeners, what's the name?
IMDb.
That's what you can name your pet. If you're a Dolphins fan, you can name your pet after the dolphin and Ace Ventura.
Was it like Skippy or
could
something?
Not, and just, you know, be cooler.
I don't remember.
Well, I named him Danma because I figured Danma Rhino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so very good. Yeah. That's very good. Where is that?
You see?
I got a GM who does puns. I don't need it at home, too.
Yeah.
That's my job.
That's right. That's Fim's job. He's the pun guy.
Well, I also named your Rhino.
Yes, you did.
But that wasn't as much a pun.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
It was. Never mind.
Sort of, in a way. Well, we'll get into it later. But so now, since the expansion, we all know things are very different for hunters now, and everything is not just with the pets and everything like that, but the way that the rotations, the shots, all that stuff is changing. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about the hunter's DPS overall? Is it worse or better since BC?
Well, in that case, you got to compare it against other classes. Mm-hmm. A hunter's DPS was number one. A properly played hunter would do more DPS than a properly played insert class here. A badly played hunter is going to stink. I mean, that's true of every class. But we have the potential to top the damage meters. We still have the potential to top the damage meters. You just have to play it properly. Other classes have had, it's really hard for me to talk about other classes because basically all I can talk about is what I see in my instances when I run. I don't play the other classes.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, tanks have DPS now. They're not going to compete for damage meter spots, but they have it. I will still top the damage meters against any other class who's equally geared. I will still top the damage meters against a class that is one level higher than me geared. I've gone against rogues who have the tier 7 pieces. I can out-damage them. It's just the way that the class is designed. Beastmaster Hunter's got this incredibly scaling pet and massive quantities of sustained range DPS, and I'm not getting interrupted, and I don't have to worry about threat, and I have a new aspect of the Viper, which will regen 100% of my mana in like 6 seconds. I can't be stopped. Other classes have had to not so much worry about the Hunters being on top, but they don't have to see the change. All right, I'm a Fire Mage. I can put out a ton of DPS. I'm still going to lose a lot of my mana. I've got a much bigger mana pool. I still have to fight the same way. But I still see a Hunter there. It's not like you're suddenly seeing Rhett Paladins always on top of the damage meters. Now, they're up there. They're doing a lot more than they used to. That's obviously a big surprise, quote-unquote surprise, that they gave Rhett Paladins so much damage potential. But that's about it. When you get down to raiding, you're still seeing the same high-end DPS classes doing well on fights that favor them, and other high-end classes doing fights that favor them. In a fight that's got requires lots of AoE, you're going to see the AoE classes go ahead of the single-target classes. Mm-hmm. Nothing has really changed in terms of the hierarchy of damage and where you expect people to be seen. It's all about the class and the person playing it. How well are they doing? Are they doing the things they need to do? Marksman Hunter is a perfect example. Marksman Hunter cannot do a steady auto macro and expect to top the damage meters. Why? Because they're a class built around stings now. They're built around Serpent Sting and Chimera Shot and refreshing that. And Aim Shot. They're putting Aim Shot and Arcane Shot. They've got massive mana regeneration. They've got a huge number of spells, shots they can use, and they have to rotate them and manage them and do them in a proper sequence depending on the time. Beastmaster Hunter is a little simpler. We're doing auto steady. We're not really worrying about stings. We don't have another instant shot other than kill shot and arcane. Arcane is extremely mana inefficient. So we're going to throw a kill shot in there when the boss hits 20%, but otherwise it's about positioning and controlling your pet. Two different skills. They're not the same. They're totally different. He's doing a lot more gun work, more bow work, because he's managing his shots. I'm doing a lot more pet management because I've got a lot more pet spells I got to worry about. So played differently, but played properly, they can both do massive amounts of damage.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, let's see. Next question is from Ratters.
Ooh. No, we can't have 20,000 gold for a mammoth.
And,
not even if the
see, I got the question, didn't I?
You know, because she likes the skimpy outfits, you know, not even if she comes up and says hi to you.
Who is that?
Ratters.
Ratters, it depends. On his paladin?
Yeah.
He's always got on a horrible helmet. And you can't hear him when you got that thing over his nose like that. It's just, he can't. Being a paladin, all right, let's make fun of paladins because they're not here. Paladins are all about looking like, paladins are all about looking cool, right? They look cool because they've got the gold, they've got the silver, they're shiny, they got huge stinking mace. They're all about looking the part. Holy light, might, right, that's me, I'm a paladin. What'd they get out of Zolomon? They got bamboo, they got wicker, they got all types of crap, and they look terrible.
Well, anything coming out of Zolomon looked terrible. Let's be honest.
Hunter stuff, yeah. There was some Hunter stuff.
Yeah, the gun looked pretty, but outside of that, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So when Ratters plays his paladin, he goes out of his way to find the most hideous gear he can get. You know he does it intentionally, so he has blog fodder. Look at this horrible-looking thing. I'm going to take a picture of this and write about it. And it's a good way to do it. I'm the ugliest paladin in the universe. The ugliest paladin, wow.com. Why isn't that out there?
So, anyway, Ratters actually had a serious question.
Okay.
Amazingly enough. He wanted to know, what do you like most about raiding, and has it changed over time?
What I like most about raiding is K. K is the wife of the GM. She is the co-GM. Yes. And Squeaky. K is known as the Squeaky Priestie. Mm-hmm. And she has a voice which cracks glass, which drives drugs to distraction. And when we do something for the first time, and or something really, really hard, she lets loose with a squeak that will travel through the earth without being interrupted. And that is the symbol. That's the status. It's like a trophy. We got a K squeak, and it's a for base lack of a better word, it's a berserker call. We did it. It's solving a puzzle, and it's K's way of celebrating. And I just love that to pieces. I went with for another guild for a while to do the end of Mount Hyjal and go do some Black Temple. All right, the thing's down. All right, let's roll on loot. Hey, where's the celebrating? Where's the fun? Where's the squeak? I love the squeak. I really do. That's what's fun about it for me. It's the people you know. It's Warcraft is so much more than a game. It's a social environment, and the people in the environment make it what it is. If you're a solo artist and you like being by yourself, well, you have fun. But if you like being going out with people and doing things and having fun, and you get the right group of people, doing the game becomes so much more than the game. It becomes an outing of family. And I'm in my guild, and my guild is a little family, and every family has problems and they have arguments. Mm-hmm. But I'm so looking forward to going to Nax in our first 10 man, and I'll be with Kay, and we'll get our first boss down. She's going to drop a squeak, and I'm like, this is what I play for.
That's going to be awesome. I wish you guys well on that.
Wait, thank you.
Actually, I can talk to her about that when she comes on the show. So
yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, tell her that you want squeaks.
We all do. We live for them. She is in charge of certain aspects of certain aspects of fights. She'll call them out. One of them on the Hydros the Lurker was she would call out when it's time for everybody to get in the water, and she would say it in this sing-song voice. Everyone get in the water, and we would all scream it at the same time, and she would start laughing her head off. And Kay, when are we supposed to get in the water? And she can't talk. It's just everybody's got it. Everybody has stories like that, and they have their own community like that, and that's ours, and that's what makes me happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the people in the game that make it worthwhile.
Exactly.
Yep, definitely.
So we have a question from a listener who sent us an email that he has a question about an appearance that you made on WoW Insider.
Yeah.
And he said that a while back when BRK made his first appearance on WoW Insider show, I heard him make a passing remark regarding his belief that quests on principle should not offer gold as rewards. He offered no further detail, and though I'm a faithful regular reader of his site and have heard each of his podcasts and each of his subsequent appearances, I am aware of no other show yet. I have yet to see any further musings on the subject. I may, of course, be mistaken. It may have not been, in fact, BRK who made the statement. If so, I apologize for my foolish memory. I have to say it's a well-written email. But to my recollection, it was, and I am simply curious as to his reasoning behind said statement. If he could elaborate further regarding this, I would appreciate it very much. Will.
All right. I did say that I don't believe gold should be used as a crest reward. Uh-huh. And the reason for this is one. I shouldn't get the same gold for doing two different things. I should be told, if I'm a mercenary, how much money am I going to get for this thing? You want me to go out and kill 10 of those, go find 6 of these in the snow, how much money am I getting? I should have the choice. Well, I don't have the choice. I have to do these quests. I have to level. Most people level via questing and killing stuff how they go, and they don't go out and just kill stuff and ignore quests. So gold as a reward for questing is redundant. Your goal, your reward for questing is leveling. If you want to give me a choice of 5 quests, and I'll pay you 5 gold for this one and 20 gold for this one or 40 gold for this one, well, guess what? Now I have a way of determining how much my time is worth. Mm-hmm. With quests right now, all my time is worth the same. And you know what? My time isn't worth the same all the time. Sometimes I've got a day off of vacation and I can do all the little piddly quests I want and I don't care. Some days I got an hour and I want to focus on the quests that give me the most money. Well, I don't know that. Right. They don't tell you. They only give you money after you finish. They don't tell you what the reward is. Here's the task. I'll hide the reward from you. I don't like that. I like the quests that say, if you do this, I'm going to give you choice of 5 pieces of gear. And I can look at the gear and go, I don't like that. I don't like that. I like that. I'm going to do this quest.
Here's a choice of 5 crappy pieces of gear.
And sometimes, I get a choice. When I'm doing quests for gold, I don't get a choice. I am told, do this quest, and I'll pay you when you're done. Who out there, who whether works for a company or is an independent contractor, decides the value of their time after their time has been spent? I think it's backwards, and that's why I don't like it.
Okay.
All right. So if they put how much it was on the tooltip,
I'd be able to make an informed choice. I've got this one quest giver. Let's go. Have you guys done Ice Crown?
I about halfway through.
All right. Ice Crown's got Alliance and Horde have a big floating ship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's one guy, I don't know about Horde, but Alliance, who has 11 billion quests. He's got a lot of stuff he needs done. He hasn't gone out in a while. And
which all right. one is that? Is that the gnome?
No, no, no. He's a Death Knight. He's
the guy that you saved, you know?
Come on. He doesn't get out. I don't know what he's doing, but he's got I got a laundry list of crap for you to do. And yes. I would like to know which one of those I'm going to get the biggest reward for, because that's what I'll invest my time in. Now, thanks to this stupid achievement system, it turns out I'm going to do all of them.
Yes.
I would love to know where my money is going and where my time is being spent before I spend it.
Now, I know that you have talked about it before, that you hate this whole achievement thing, but yet you just made a statement that you're like, I need to do it now for the achievement. So
Smokers generally don't like smoking, do they? No, they don't. I wish I could quit smoking. I wish I could stop. I wish I could, it's an addiction. I have to get the little ding in Guild Chat that says I did 140 quests in Ice Crown. Oh, you know how much I hate Ice Crown? You want to talk about what I like the most about Northrend and what I hate about it? Ice Crown's a huge waste. Cut it off, send it off. I don't care about Ice Crown. 140 quests is too many when everything is gray.
Yeah.
I hate Ice Crown. I'm so burned out on quests thanks to that silly zone.
Yeah,
but I had to get the achievement. How could I not? I got it. I'm 100. And then they got that stupid tracking feature. You're 107 out of 140. I hate these things. That's 107. Where are the quests? And you get, everybody's got the guildies. I'm missing 14 quests in Shulzar. I don't know where to find them. Did you do this quest? Yeah, I did that quest. No, you didn't. You'd have this if you had that quest. Well, I can't find the guy. And you just want to reach to the internet and slap him because everybody's asking the same questions. And it's all about the achievement system. I hate it. But
you hate it, but you can't stop yourself.
Oh, someone ask me about for Storm Peaks, and I guess they had missed some stuff in that northwest section.
Yeah,
they hadn't done like the go up to the mountain to get the guy in there that you have to kill, and there's the three different items you have to break or something. And I was like, so did you do this one? He said, yeah, I did that one. Yeah, I did that one. I'm like, how about the one in the little area here? He's like, oh, I didn't get those. I'm like, well, I don't know how you get to them. Maybe it's a drop or something, but that's what you're missing.
You know, that's what happened to me with Zul'Jarak, right? Because I did up to like 61 of them, and I'm like, well, what hub am I missing that I don't have this? And it's this stupid, strange mojo that dropped off one of these trolls. That it's like it's like a 20 off. Yeah, it's like a 20 quest chain, like,
yes,
and
yeah.
I was like, drops, and that's
what the hell is this, what the hell is it, like this zone being dependent on the stupid drop.
Well, usually I mean, every time that there has been one of those, I've gotten it by doing some other quest. Like I do some quest, I go kill some mob as part of that quest, and I get the drop. I don't think I've ever gotten to a point where I've been like, okay, I'm out of quests and I can't find any, I have to go kill some random stuff to find out what I didn't get a drop for. So maybe it's just you missed those creatures, or I don't know.
I never had
that problem.
I got it.
Half of Grizzly Hills is dependent upon one quest giver who's hiding in a hut.
Yes.
You don't find the guy hiding in the hut, the entire eastern half of Grizzly Hills is lost from you. I'm missing 70 quests. I can't find them all. Wait, did you do this one? And you backtrack 14 different. I'm in WoWhead on my second monitor. Did you do this one? No. Did you do the guy who ride backwards and you shoot at the thing? No. Well, he's in the stupid hut. He's the Grizzly Hill bastard. He's the guy who controls Grizzly Hills. And so you've got to. And it's. Oh, I hate that. Because normally you just go, I hate this zone. I'm going to Dragonblight. I love Dragonblight. I'm going to Dragonblight.
Well,
no, Dragon I got to do the quest because
we actually,
achievement.
My favorite zone was Howling Fjord. But the one that you're talking about with the horses and the warren and falling and chasing us and stuff, that was fun.
There was a fun quest. So many. For all the things that you can point out and say, I can't stand this, there are 10 times as many things that are just so cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had more fun leveling in Wrath of Lich King than I have playing pretty much any of the other expansion, the regular game, anything. I've had just tons of fun. I'm usually like, oh, I want to do it. I have to do an instance. I have to do stuff with other people. I can't just do this all by myself. And I don't need anyone else. It's just fun. And, I mean, part of that is the improvements to, the pet tanking.
Yes.
The gorilla can just tank. I don't have to worry about it. It just takes on elites. It doesn't matter.
Everything.
So, you know, oh, well, we got to kill this elite that has 80,000 hit points. Oh, whatever. I'll go do it. Whatever. It's a five-person quest. Nah, who cares?
Here's a great question for other classes, the lesser classes. How much health does a mob have to have before you worry?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean, if you're soloing and you run across, I don't care whether it's an elite or not, how much health does a mob have to have before you go, I need help? And for me, I found around 275,000 is where I have to say, I might need some help with this. Me and a tenacity pet, we've killed just about we've done every three-man quest by ourselves. Five mans we haven't done by ourselves. And those are the ones that have 300,000 or 325,000 health. 275,000 health, unless they're going to do a 1-2 shot of my pet where they, you know, well, I can't out-heal it. And I can out-heal a lot with a 50% bonus
to healing. There are some that will do that.
I solo everything, and it's a lot of fun, and it's all because of the tenacity pets.
Have you gone and tried to get one of those giants in Howling Fjord, the ones that wander
the storm
around?
Giants?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're hard.
They are very hard.
And they hit hard.
They hit very hard, and that's the problem, is that spike damage, as hunters, cannot heal spike damage. We can heal AoE damage, we can heal steady damage, but spike damage, it's very hard to recover from. So those are the types of things where you have to go, okay, it's not a question of how much health the mob hits, it's how much I can self-heal my pet. And you give me somebody who can heal my pet, I can take it on anything.
Yeah, it's true.
I was like waiting for people to do a heroic Utgard keep, and I was just wandering around. I'm like, oh, there's one of those giants. I'm 80 now. Let's go see what I can do. And I had the gorilla still out for some reason. I hadn't gone to the guy to switch him out for the wasp. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see what I can do. And he hit like two hits and he was dead. I even put a heal on him before he went in.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to be good and I'm going to put a heal on. Let's go. And boom, boom, he's dead. Ah, Fane.
He just does too much spike damage. Now with a turtle, I'd like to hear about a guy, hunter with a turtle going out there and trying to
storm
giant.
Yeah, that might do it.
Because turtle's shell shield mitigates 50% of all damage.
Yeah.
That we might be able to do.
Well, the gorilla, I know that while I was leveling my priest, because I leveled my priest first, Chris came and helped me with this elite that's supposed to be five-man elite that's wandering outside of Nax.
Yes.
So he was like, oh, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do it with just me and the gorilla and you, because, you know, they tried to do it like three-man and it didn't work out because whatever. I might just send the gorilla and let's see. And he did just fine. Didn't get beyond 50%.
That entire zone of all those quests, we have to go to New Hearth. Is it New Hearth Glen down there? What's the name of that?
Yeah. Yep.
Mina Boomkin Druid. She just switched out, healed through a massive heal over time, then switched into Boomkin, and we destroyed everything. Me and she on Baby Mammoth, we just wiped that whole place out. Now, obviously, all of Northrend is easy for every class, but there are certain quests that do require a certain tank, healer, DPS triad. But with a hunter, we've got all the DPS, we've got lots of good tanking, we've got some good heals. Give us more good heals, we can do anything.
As long as a medium level hot is good enough to keep him alive,
you're
generally okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't switched out from any of my soloing talents. Like, I haven't switched my spec to more of a instancing.
Right.
I still have the extra health and the extra armor and all that so that he can survive. We actually, I don't remember what level it was. It wasn't 80. We were like 75, 76. And we wanted to go into Drakthoron Keep. And our tank, who we had gone somewhere else first, our tank decided he had to go mine or something. So he's like, well, I want to go mine. I don't really want to go in an instance. So it was four of us, and I had the gorilla, and I'm like, you know what? Let's go in and see what we can do. And we got down the first, like, leg, that first, like, hallway, and we did great, and he survived. The priest was kind of sweating most of the time, trying to keep him alive, but he did it. And then we got to the room that has the big, like, patchwork type dudes, and he couldn't keep them alive long enough.
Problem with tenacity pets as viable main tanks is their shallow health pool. The 50% bonus to healing is great, but again, it's spike damage. Your gorilla probably only has like 11,000 health, whereas you at level 80, we're seeing 30,000 health.
Tanks.
Yeah. I mean, you can't compete with that. The healing is nice, but for off-tanking stuff where you don't get the spike damage, they can do just fine. But they are not tank replacement. That much has been proved. Now, there are certain websites and stories out there that people are keeping track of just what they're able to do, pet tanking achievements, and that should definitely be in the game, by the way.
It's pretty cool.
There's stuff that you can do, but you can't do everything, and that was pretty much what I figured would happen. Yeah, you can do some stuff, but you can't tank an entire 5-man. Definitely not a heroic.
Yeah. So we have a question, and now the snarky,
this is the funny part.
This is the fun part.
All right,
the snarky ones up here, and so Rooney from Unbearably Hot wanted to know that isn't it true that druids are way more awesomer than hunters? She wants a confirmation. Bear decided to infiltrate.
Every druid's dream come true and tell them that the next thing I'm going to recommend is a portable wardrobe. Engineers should be able to make a portable wardrobe, because obviously every druid needs to have three different sets of gear. Bags don't cut it. 22 slot bags don't cut it. They need a portable wardrobe. And as long as they're getting the portable wardrobe, they might as well get a portable makeup station. And as long as they're getting the portable makeup station, they should probably get, a portable sushi bar and all this nice little stuff that druids need, because druids come with a lot of baggage, right? They probably need a special little portable porter. And they probably will need, some type of baton, and maybe even a little monkey to carry all this stuff around with them. Druids need a lot of ancillary gear. Whether that makes them better hunters or not, I don't know. But they have the largest entourage of any class in Warcraft, and they can hang that around their necks if they want.
There you go.
Oh, so there you are, Rennie.
So another kind of interesting one from, we call him Stop. I don't remember what his real, pseudonym is. Pseudonym is Kikilan or something like that.
It's something
from
like
Stoppable Force.
Okay.
He wants to know why we,
hunters,
including himself, hunters as a group, can't tame druids yet.
It probably has something
another
to do with the wardrobe,
question.
But
it's too much coming with it. They just
absolutely makes no sense that I can fear a beast and fear a druid, but I can't tame a beast and tame a druid. It's probably a bug. It probably was designed to be there, that they just haven't gotten around to fixing it yet. And as soon as they do, I'll let y'all know and I'll do a movie of it. But it should be there. He's a beast. I tame beasts. So I can fear him.
I want to at least be able to tame a horde. Cat.
I want something. Anything that turns into a beast. I'm a hunter. I should tame it. It only makes sense.
There you go.
I wonder what the big showdown would be if that were true, that you would go to a bear server and try and tame him.
Well, Bear is already tamed. In case you haven't noticed, Big Bear Butt Blogger has pretty much quit. He's a hunter now. He's been converted.
He is.
All he does is talk about his hunter. I like my druid, but I'm going to talk about my hunter for the next 5,000 words. Hunter, 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 hunter. I have a druid. Hunter, hunter, hunter. So he's done. I don't have to worry about him anymore. He's the next hunter, and he's the next hunter blogger, basically. You should expect Big Bear Butt Blogger to pretty much change the entire layout of his blog very, very soon. We anticipate it. We welcome him to the right side.
To my pet has a big bear butt.
Yeah.
Blogger.
I need to be tamed by blogspot.com. Something out there. But he's done as a druid blogger. You need to find, you guys, another bear tank druid needs to step up and take his place, because he's been converted.
Oh, well.
Well, Rooney is
we'll
a
wait to
bear
see.
Tank
yeah. Tank. Well, Rooney is, but yeah, but we'll wait to see about that.
Exactly.
So another druid wants to know, and this one is Bellwether.
Yeah, Bellwether.
From Four Hails.
Yeah.
And she wants to know, and this is going to be our last question.
Oh, I like questions.
Yes. On a scale from 1 to 100, how bad is your man crush for Ratshag?
Oh, it's huge. I love Ratshag. Ratshag's lucky we're both married. This is just because I've gotten an email. I've been called the grandfather of WoW blogs. I'm not the grandfather of WoW blogs. There were lots of them before me. They just didn't have as many hits. Whatever. Every class out there has a blog, and somebody's writing something useful about it, and something intelligent, and something funny, and something witty. Nobody does for, I'm going to call it role-playing, because that's basically what he does. Nobody does role-playing like Ratchak. He is gifted. And, I mean, I'm a writer, but I'm not a published writer, if you want to say it. I don't know anything. He's gifted when it comes to doing role-playing. He's the best role-playing blogger we have. He needs a publisher. He needs to be on WoW Insider. He's gifted, and I love him to pieces. And he's incapable of choosing a main. We all know that. He has an entire much too big a fondness for orc and nudity. It's kind of disturbing in a bizarre kind of greenish way. But I love Ratchak, and I'm so proud that he's in my guild doing whatever kind of bizarre paladin thing he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome. He's awesome.
He is tremendous. And he's everybody's weird, kooky uncle. He's all our weird, kooky uncle. We all need Ratchak. He has to be in our life. Who's going to take us out for drinks at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday? Ratchak. Who's going to take us out and find us really bad porn on Monday night? Ratchak. That's who Ratchak is. And we can't live without him. I love Ratchak. He's part of the community. He's a great part of the community. Oh, yeah. He's the green, mossy cement that holds us all together.
Oh, that's awesome.
He does. Needs to develop he needs to be able to talk like Ratchak talks. He needs to practice that. If he can't do it yet, he needs to be working on that.
He does it.
He does it, yeah.
Because you can hear the 6 o'clock news theme coming in, and now the 6 o'clock orc news. And then he just lets loose with this verbal diarrhea of Ratchak and orcs talking about stuff, and people won't be able to hold their urine in. It's going to be cryingly funny. You're not going to know what's going to happen. And then, of course, he's going to have the Eye in the Sky Galar Tubby doing something, and you're not going to know what hits you. And it's absolutely nothing to do with Warcraft, really. It's just him being these two characters. They're the two funniest characters we have out here.
Yes.
And they're not being developed, and I find that an absolute atrocity.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, there you go. So, Ratchak, BRK wants you to develop.
I need that boy by the end of 2009 to be a household name. Ratchak Industries, Ratchak Cottage Industries. It's
Ratchak for president.
As long as I'm talking about some of these people, there are a lot of really good blogs. We know Mania. We know what she does. We know Ratchak and then the thing that he brings. Specifically, the Druid bloggers. It's a very difficult thing to be one class that can do three different things. And the number of Druid bloggers out there that are really good at what they do, mana regeneration as a hunter, I don't care about mana regeneration, I've got Aspect of the Viper, but their MP5 calculations and the things they're doing, that's really cool in a math sense. The science behind it is fabulous. And then you've got absolutely bear tanking has always been a little bit tricky because you're completely different than everything else. That's been wonderful. Where's Kitty DPS? Who out there is doing Kitty DPS blogging? I haven't found you yet. You need to do a Kitty DPS blog. It's important.
Teeth and Claws.
Teeth and Claws. I'll check that out.
I need to put that on. Teeth and Claws.
All right. Teeth and Claws. That's a very important thing. I mean, they talk about what... I can't do a Warcraft blog because everything's been covered. Hardly the table's been scratched with what you can do. There's so many niches and things you do. Now, not everybody is going to be a 15,000 clicks a day blog. There's just so much people can read in one day. But if you've got something to say, if you've got a unique perspective and you think it's not being covered, or even if you think you can cover it in a better way or a different way, get out there and write. Get out there and do it. It's free. It's fun. And, you know, you've got this huge community of bloggers who will advance you and tell you how to do it and get your name out there. There's absolutely no reason you shouldn't get out there and do it. It's fabulous.
So let me ask you a quick question before we leave. Now, your guild is pretty famous for having an extended amount of bloggers in the
yes.
guild, right?
Yes.
So my question is, which one came first?
Who was the first blogger in the guild?
Yeah.
Well, Ethereal Circle is a combination of the original Ethereal Circle, which is a comp like three or four people who built a little small family, and my people who came from Cosmodon, and we joined together, and poof, we did that. And I blogged then, and everybody else, I don't want to say everybody else started blogging, but everybody else had something to say. And they wanted to say it. And I said, well, this is the easy way to say it because, you know, our Dumilius, our rogue, had some certain very specific opinions on rogue. So he started writing rogue blog. And Kay had priesty things she wanted to say. And Fio started Ethereal Circle because he wanted to be a raiding boomkin and he couldn't find a guild that would let him be a raiding boomkin. So he started his own guild and he started his own blog. Now, he's a very busy guy. He's had a lot of family stuff. He hasn't been able to blog as much as he wants. But man knows his boomkins and he has a blog and he should write more. And then we started getting people coming over who were doing their own blog but wanted to come say hi. And they made a level 1 tune to come over and say hi. And I can't help myself. I've got a macro for Guild Invite, and I'll bring just about anybody into the guild. It's really kind of sad. That power has been taken away from me, and I'm part of torture. But I would invite all these people, and that's how we got Ratshag. Ratshag, come on over, say hi. Hi, how you doing? Oh, you got a little spreech there. Okay, you're invited. Now level them up to 70. We're going to raid Molten Core next week or whatever. It is a guild is... can be a job, it can be an outlet for fun and entertainment, or it can be a family. Mm-hmm. And what you find is that even in this blogging community, it's a family. You're not in the same guild, you know, on the same server, but you migrate together. Yes, people who blog have not the same personality, but the same kind of thought patterns. They find the same things funny. They find the same things entertaining, and they like hanging out with each other. So they don't want to all move to the same server, because you can't have 47 hunters in one guild. You can't have 5,000 druids like we do. It just doesn't work. But you can get together in a communal spirit and talk about this stuff. And I collected quite a few people who liked to talk the way I talk and talk about Warcraft and talk about how they play. And it all just came about that way.
Oh, excellent. we're just a big one and big happy family group.
Yeah. And Ratshag.
And Ratshag. Oh, Riders is awesome. We love you, Riders.
He knows I love the pieces.
And sadly, I think it's we're already at almost an hour and 20 minutes here.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah.
That's three times longer than what I normally do. I do 30 minutes, and I figure people get enough of me yapping, so I shut it off.
This is just the interview part. We still have to do the rest of the show.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are going to be busy.
But we want to say a huge thank you.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure. You should have called me sooner. Call me again, too. I love doing this type of stuff. I love to hear myself talk.
Well, we'll probably have another roundtable. We've had a couple roundtables in the show so far, mm-hmm. and we'll probably have another one starting sometime in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and you'll definitely be invited.
I will be thrilled to be invited. I will tell you that you notice I don't participate a lot in the community, and that's intentional. And it's not to slight everybody. It's because my blog, through no fault of my own, is basically an 18-wheeler of destruction. And it brings a lot of people with it. When I send someone, hey, here's a cute little blog I found, the people who read my blog click it and just destroy them, and they wreck the furniture and they raid the refrigerator. And what I don't want to do is I don't want it to be Twisting Nether with Big Red Kitty. It's Twisting Nether, period. That's what this is. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I don't want to seem like I am forcing my conglomerate down anybody's throats. I want this community to be what it is, and I want to sneak in and say hi and do what I can and visit when you let me. But people say, why don't you get more involved? Saying, because they don't need me. You guys are talented enough. I don't need to be here. It's fun to show up and do stuff, but you guys are doing a fabulous job on your own. I would be very happy to participate in a roundtable. I just don't want it to be the roundtable with Big Red Kitty. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
You'll be one of the guys.
I want to be one of the guys.
Yes. Yes.
With an extremely large and disturbed cult following, calling all the time. It's nuts.
One of the odd guys.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, and it was so awesome to finally speak to you. And I'm not going to do the girly fangirl on the show.
Well, now I'm disappointed. That's the only reason I came on here, was to get some fangirl stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, because then I just look sillier than usual.
probably not.
I think, you know, I have dinner with Mania every once in a while, once a month, once or twice a month, and we're normal people. You know, Mania is just a nice, simple girl who knows everything there is to know about Hunter Pets. And I'm just a normal guy who's a father and a husband and work all the time. And I love to hear myself talk. And I love to use really cool voices and say, baby rhino. And that's it. That's just it. We're just regular people. So
I know.
Yeah.
What you're a fan of is the entertainment. And I feel the same way about like Terminator movies. You know, if you actually meet Schwarzenegger, he's a short dude. But in the movie, he's really, really cool. So what you hear here in the podcast, what you're on the blog, I'm just a yokel. I'm just a joke.
Well, I want to say thank you, because without you, my blog wouldn't have passed the first day.
Well, that I take a tremendous amount of pride in, that people have started blogs and said, I'm doing it because I read you. That is really something special to me, that if they thought enough of my work that they wanted to do it on their own. That's like the highest compliment.
That I get it all. I'll call girly on you. Not call girly, but I'll fangirly on you.
Wait a minute. I've got that recorded, don't I? Yeah, I didn't hit the off button. Ooh. Hot dog. Oh, all right.
No.
Now I know what I'm doing Sunday night. Ratter, sorry. You've been usurped.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, so thank you. No. Seriously, thank you for what you've done for the community, and not just the hunter community, but the blogging community in general. Because I know that you have helped inspire a lot of people to start this, and it's created a fantastic community that continues to flourish.
It's a lot of fun, and thank you so much for having me. I've had a blast.
Yep. Oh, and I should say, talking about Mania, it's actually the day we're recording this, which isn't the day it comes out, obviously, is her birthday.
Oh,
so happy birthday Mania. To Mania. I'm not going to sing because I've been yelled at for doing that previously.
We don't sing.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mania.
She dinged. So. Woohoo.
I'll have to take her. I'm going to see if I can call her and give her a birthday dinner. I might take her out for a little hamburger or something. That sounds good.
Woohoo. Take her to Red Lobster.
Oh, Red Lobster. That was good. I ate all my fish.
Yes, you did. It must have been very good.
I was very good fish. I ate the whole thing. You ate all your fish. Thanks. I'm 11
good
years
job.
Old. Good job. Thanks a lot.
It was funny. Okay.
All right.
We got to go.
All right.
Going.
Kick me out. Guild kick me.
Thanks for coming.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
No, that's earning your supper. So that was the problem. Now I'm making progress.
This is your friendly neighborhood three-jawed noob Razorbacks, and here are some hot topics from the internet.
Okay. That was an awesome interview. Even with my Freudian slip near the end, that's fine. Yeah.
That's okay.
So it was great. It was awesome to speak to him. We thank BRK profusely for hanging out with us. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely. We're up to our topics of the week. Because the interview was so long, we're kind of making the rest of the show a little shorter this week. So we only got a couple topics to talk about, and we'll probably talk about them really quick. So let's get to it.
Yep. So basically what I was mentioning earlier when we were talking about that they removed the statistic about how much money your account has, like how much you've ever had on your character or whatever. Larissa from Pigtail Inn actually wrote a post before they removed that. She wrote a post saying that while she really enjoyed a lot of the things that the Armory had to offer in terms of the achievements and everything, she felt that having the amount of money that your character may have ever had as a statistic on the Armory made it vulnerable for hackers, like for people to go through and see who has a lot of cash to make that account a target. When I saw that, I realized I had never really thought about that part of it, you know, that having that amount out there could make you vulnerable to people who want to do harm to your account. So I thought it was a very good post, and I wanted to talk about it.
It's a good idea. Yeah, I mean, I agree that they should not have put that in there. Although I did notice that it's really based on like what you had as of 3.0. So it was not like, it seemed like, you know, it didn't like figure out like how much you've ever made ever in the game.
I know of two guildies, right? No, three that I can say offhand, that one of them is, they've had 15,000, another one that had over 24,000, another one has over like 30,000. So that's on maybe one character. So if that statistic was out there, you know, and all three of these accounts have been vulnerable at one point. They have been hacked prior to 3.0. They all have authenticators now and stuff like that. But she made a good point that I didn't think about that, because I remember we talked about it when the achievements and all that stuff came out. I was like, oh yeah, it's really cool. But I never thought that having that information about the money could make you vulnerable to your account. Make your account vulnerable, I mean.
Yeah. That's true. I agree.
So we'll have that link in the show notes so you guys can check it out. It's a very good post.
Yep. And Blizzard listened. Which is cool.
Well, yeah, they did. They actually listened before. I mean, not that we make a difference, but they must have had a number of people saying, hey, this may not be a good idea. And they took it out pretty soon after they implemented the new armory. So that was cool.
Yeah, I think it was basically, you know, they built the achievements and the stats in the game, and they just ported them out, and really didn't look at each one to say, okay, does this belong out there for everybody to see or not? They just kind of took them whole hog and said, here you go, you know, and then went, oh, yeah, maybe we shouldn't show that. So, you know, they probably just didn't even think about, you know, what shouldn't be in that list from the statistics, you know, what shouldn't be shared, what should.
Right, yeah. And then we have another post, I call her Isis. I know it's not the full toon's name. It's like Isig Toxic or something. And I apologize. Like usual, I butcher you all names. I'm sorry. I do it with love. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care. So she's the writer for Musings of a Raider. And she had a really good post about whether or not your real life should affect the game, should affect the game for you and for the people that you play with. And she had an example of a person in her guild, or a person hypothetically in her guild, that was upset because they weren't invited to a raid and or an event that they were doing. And they spoke to the person putting it together, and the person said, listen, we don't have a spot. That person got upset, started talking to the management, you know, the raid leaders, the officers and stuff like that. And then they tried to make that person invite him and said no. And then they threw out that this person was dealing with the anniversary of a traumatic event, something that happened, and this is why they should be let in. And she was making a valid and a really good post about how, while everybody has things that go on in real life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're entitled to one thing or another simply because you're going through a rough time. You know, one thing is if you're going through a rough time and you, let's suppose you're having a hard time in school, you're having financial issues, whatever, and you don't feel up to raiding, you don't feel up to doing something that you committed to, that's one thing. But expecting special treatment because you want to get into something because something is happening to you is just not cool. And so I was interested in seeing the different spin on that, because I haven't heard of someone saying just because something bad is happening to me, you have to be nice to me and let me in.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that personally either, as far as I know, but I also have only been like a raid leader or something like that infrequently and only somewhat recently, so I haven't had to deal with as much of the problems. I know that I've not, you know, that, you know, it's a 10-man or whatever, and I've only invited these 10 people, and then someone comes and goes, oh, you never invite me, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But not ever like, oh, and I'm having a problem with my boyfriend or girlfriend, and therefore you should let me in because I could really want to go, and that's what was going on. I didn't see that.
Right, exactly. I mean, I've had, I haven't seen that either. I've had the reverse. I've had people tell me, listen, I really can't go tonight because I'm not really feeling up to it, or X number reason or whatever, which is totally fine and acceptable. There's no reason why you should have to come if you don't feel up to it, or because if we see that you're having an issue, you know, especially if you're out of sorts and you're not yourself, then maybe you should take a break. There's no reason why you have to be there if you're going to be all messed up. So, but I have not had, nor would I allow in somebody in a raid simply because on the basis that they're going through a rough time and they should go in to the raid. There's other things you can do with that person that you can do to help them out, but not necessarily bring them into something that they may not even have the mindset for, especially if they're going through a rough time.
Yep. No, I agree. Definitely.
So she lists a number of different perspectives on it, and you can read all that in her post. I'll have the link in the notes.
Yep. Yeah, it was a really good post. And I think that's all of our topics. See? Nice and short. you guys need to write better posts. No. Like I said, we wanted to cut it a little shorter this week because of the long interview. So next
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but I'm.
Nope, go ahead.
Yeah, before we go on, I just want to say out to all the bloggers that I'm very happy to see that the quality of the posts are improving. Not that they've been bad, but you know, like everybody's been on high eight. No, they were like, everybody was like, I'm leveling. And I know that everybody's busy, but it's great to see that the summer hump is over. The expansionitis is over. People are starting to get back into their grooves and we're starting to see these awesome posts again. It makes my life a lot easier. So I thank you. Thank you for making my life easier.
See, the quality of my posts hasn't changed. Because it was low to begin with, and it's still low. I am consistently low.
Oh,
no problem. You can always count on me to have no useful comment in my content. Blah, blah, blah. Absolutely no useful content in my post.
That's not true.
Okay, most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
I try really hard not to, but sometimes I get guilted into putting stuff on there that's useful. How's that? You got to write a post about add-ons. Really? No, I don't want to. Yeah, you got to write a post about add-ons. Okay, fine.
And the world's a better place for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do get a lot of hits about my Arc Inventory rules post, which is like a really long time ago, but I get a lot of hits on that. So, oh, well. I don't really care about it, so it doesn't really matter to me. As long as someone's getting some information from it, if I posted one that's informative, hopefully people will use it and not, it won't be wrong. So anyway, yes, so that's the topics, and next up is the mail call.
Hi, this is Failure from Resto for Life, and... All right. This is Mairdred from Treebound Cat, and I see some night elves dancing on mailboxes, so it must be mail time.
Hang on! Nobody's gonna be sanitized as long as I have a say in it!
So, we got mail. Mail call. We got one piece of mail. One piece of mail. Nobody else is sending us mail. Why aren't you sending us mail? Nobody called. Still. So, we got mail from Thalise. From Pretty Wow at prettyscripts.org, wow.prettyscripts.org. And the email says the following. I enjoy your podcasts. I have recently discovered your show, which are great. I enjoy listening to them. Thank you very much. And don't know if this has been talked about in the past. Have you talked about fashions? It's one of the many reasons I play the game. Sexy plates and robes for my tunes. I also wonder how many players are into WoW fashions and their gender. And then the sticky tongue out face smiley thing. Have anyone noticed fashions in Wrath so far are so plain? Take robes, for example. I am currently leveling my lock and notice cloth rewards more. They all have the same style. She has an example. I think it's a she. Didn't look. In their blog post, they have an example in their blog post on their site, and the link will be in the show notes. I remember fashions in Classic WoW were pretty and sexy. For example, Roads of Insight. Maybe you should do a show about it. So that is the email. What do you think, Bree?
Well, I know for a fact that I've heard complaints. She is not the only. I'm going to call her a she. So if you're not, I'm sorry. that I've heard complaints from other female bloggers. I mean, I think girls, like actual females, notice this more, even though Radders is also pretty conscious of this with his pally now. But, I know that a number of girls have been complaining, and myself included, that the templates, the gear templates in Wrath have been pretty plain. They've been pretty recycled. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who was complaining that the robes they finally found were different from the generic five styles that have been rotating around Northrend. But yeah, yeah. It, she's not the only one that's noticed. A number of different bloggers have noticed, and now that we brought this out, I expect other bloggers to make posts about it and to expose this travesty and say, where is our fashion? Where is our trends? Why can't we have different styles? Why must we all be the same? We're not the same. We shouldn't look the same. So.
Go get a haircut.
So, yeah. No, jeez. I mean, and not even the haircuts. Not all the haircuts are different. They're all, like, recycled. So, yeah. I mean, I have noticed it. The priest didn't get a lot of changes, but, yeah, the robes are basically the same. They're not that many color variations. I don't know how the gear is going to look in the raiding content. From what I can tell, even the raiding content is recycled. So I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, well. But yeah, so if others want to comment on that and send us the links to those posts, that would be great. We'll put up maybe a campaign to beautify Northrend. Let's try that.
Woohoo! Get signatures. So
that's it.
Yeah, that's our mail that we got. And we're done with the show.
We are done.
This is Lornar from 35 Yards Out. You are listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast. Don't forget to check out the wiki at wiki.twistednether.net.
Ha! The old magic fingers finally went through! Now let's get down to Purge! No, 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 no! Where did I... Aha! This should do the trick!
Time for the spiel.
Alright, so... The ending spiel that we do every show, so you guys must be so tired of hearing it. But anyway, we're going to do it anyway, because that's how we roll. Yes. If you have a question, tip, blog, or post... That's right. That's what we do. That you think we should check out, let us know. You can contact us at femlis@twistednether.net or bree@twistednether.net. You can also call and leave us a voice message and make Fem very happy at 206-203-4546. Mm-hmm. You can check us out at twistednether.net and also check out our forums at Blog Azeroth. And the link will also be there in our contact page.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. And also, we would like you to check out the Twisted Nether Wiki. I know a lot of you use it. We appreciate it. I should probably tell you where it is, shouldn't I? Those of you who don't. That it is at wiki.twistednether.net. So you should go and have a look. If you find that your blog or one of your favorites is not there, send an email to us at wiki@twistednether.net. And if you do that, then one of our Wikibrarians, mainly Kestrel, from Kestrel's Aerie, will add, update, etc. into the wiki as soon as he is able to, which may not be right away, so don't worry about sending multiple emails. I know some of you have done that before. We're getting them, I promise. We'll get to it. Kes was away, and now he's back, and he's been updating it faithfully. We really appreciate it, because we just fail at doing it.
Yes, we fail miserably.
We are bad. If you listen to us...
We do.
I know. If you listen to us via iTunes, leave us a comment there. We really would appreciate it. Leave us a comment on the website. Yeah, we want those too, please. If you have a comment on the show, just leave it there. We'd love to hear if you like the show, if you didn't like the show, whatever. I want to see like 10, 20 comments per show on there. Come on. Fill it up. That's more than that, even better. Next week, what do we got next week? Next week
we have Stop from the Stoppable Force. Even though yes, Stop, when he comes on the show, he's gonna tell us that's not his name. Like, he doesn't write under Stop. The thing is, this is what happens when people come into BA, right? What happens is that we give you nicknames even if you don't even want that nickname, right? Because that's the way we roll. So
just be careful what your IM name is.
That's right. Be careful what your IM name is, because that will become your nickname. So Stop, mm-hmm. Stop's IM name is, well, I'm not going to say. But anyway, suffice to say that he's become Stop to us. So Stop will be on the show. It's going to be a great show because Stop is also going to not only talk to us about Warlocks, because that's his main. He's also going to talk to us about Death Knights. We haven't had a Death Knight on the show. He is leveling a Death Knight. And if you listen to last week's show, you know that he's the one that wrote that great post about how to play one. So we can pick his brain.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And also, I'm going to bother him about add-ons, because he wrote an add-on for me, a Hunter add-on called Viper Watch that lets you know when you should switch back and forth. So I'm going to bug him about making some modifications that I want in the add-on.
Really? He made one? There. Yeah. I want that add-on.
Viper Watch. It's on Curse. Oh. You can find it. Ooh. Viper Watch. Just look it up. It's good.
Now I'm going to have to go download that.
Bree is going orgasmic. Watch out.
Yeah, because actually I was just thinking that, thanks, now with the call girl thing and that's great, that when I was playing Bree, I'm like, I really need something to remind me to switch back because I kept playing with Viper on, so if you have any questions for him, feel free to send us email. We also are going to have Hydra later this month, and either this month or next month, we're going to have Kay and Fo from Married in Real Life. That's going to be awesome. So if you have any questions for any of them, feel free to start sending us in, and we will hold it until their shows. Yes. So thank you, guys.
Yes. And I have a suggestion for you also. Wait. I have a suggestion. The other thing you can use for the Viper thing is power auras. And just set it up to use a different aura when you run out of mana and if you have the thing on and stuff like that. I set that up too. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yes, so thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now, that's a lot to digest. I'm going to need some time to take all of this in. Thank you.
Do not lose faith.
Hi, this is Mike Morheim, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
Installment of the Twisted Nether Blogcast. Again, we have come to bring you the best of the WoW. What? Hold on.
Shoot the breeze. Shoot. Never mind.
We're all excited. Well, I'm excited. Fim just feigns excitement. You know.
I'm excited.
Usually feign death, but that's okay.
That's a good thing. Bonus points for you.
Yes.
He's trying to get kudo points.
She's got headphones on. She's not paying any attention to me. So he gets the infused mushroom meatloaf every day for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
We
got that again today.
Yeah, I think it's bugged. That's the only thing anybody seems to get.
Are you sure you want me to do the intro? It's going to be like, oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
I could do that. Oh my god!
Oh, jeez.
It's Bree!
Right.
I can't believe I'm talking to Bree. Isn't this so cool? Yeah.
Nice. It's War and Peace of podcasting. I'll call girly on you.
Hot dog.
I'll fangirly on you.
Now I know what I'm doing Sunday night. All right.
Me like shiny.
Stand fast, brothers and sisters! The light will prevail!